right. Well, good evening. Good to see y'all here and those of us online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Change My Heart, O God. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O
praise the Lord.
among men, my example is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day they left him alone in the garden. One day he rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er his tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Amen. Praise the Lord. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross until my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross until my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, anybody got a pick of him this evening? A tune you've been thinking of? Turn over to 3:30 and sing Are You Washed in the Blood real quick. Anybody else have one? Oh, we'll go ahead and do that one right quick. Ooh, 7:46, He Keeps Me Singing. Yeah, we'll do that one. That's a good one. Yeah, 7:46, He Keeps Me Singing. He Keeps Me Singing on 7:46, is that the one that you said? Only if somebody else didn't have one, but since you have one, yeah, we'll sing it. All right, He Keeps Me Singing, 7:46. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. Praise the Lord. Amen.
All right. Very good, very good. Okay, good to see y'all tonight. Amen. How we doing? Good to have some visitors with us back there. All right, we got some visitors. All right, man. All right, yeah, give our visitors a round of applause. That's great. Do we have any praises tonight?
Yes, Pastor, I got one. Chad and Audrey, the family that we have here in his church, Chad, yeah, been looking for a job and he found one. He's going to start next week.
Who's the job with?
He's going to work at the jailhouse right now.
Going to work for the jail, Montgomery County Jail?
He didn't say.
All right. That's good praise. All right. Chad landed that job. Where'd he go? Very good. Got a praiser, Gene?
What, Gene? You're glad you're back?
I'm back
to church. Praise God, Gene's back.
All right, Gene's back at church, man. Very good. What else? What else? Anybody else got a praise? Anybody else? All right, Jennifer?
Jessica's doing a bit better. So,
all right.
Thank you. I just want to praise everybody in this church for praying.
Amen.
And God for listening.
Very good. All right. Any prayer requests? Prayer requests.
I got one.
What you got?
One of our my coworkers, Arnaldo, is in the hospital, and so just pray that he heals up fast and can get back to.
Okay. College. What's his name now?
Arnaldo. Yeah. A R N A L D O.
A R.
Yeah. A R N A L D O. Yeah. Arnaldo.
Arnaldo.
Yeah.
All right. In the hospital.
Yeah. Just pray for healing for him.
All right, man. Hospital healing. You got it.
But I am going to remind us again, some time ago, three or four weeks ago, I think I mentioned a dear, dear friend of Denise's and mine named Linda that had fallen and hurt her shoulder and arm real bad.
Broken
her arm. And she's been in very intense treatment. The doctors have been working with her trying to really save her elbow joint. Shoulder joint. But Linda informed Denise yesterday that Linda believes that her arm is much, much better, and the doctors are in agreement with her. And she is rejoicing in that there is strong sign of this thing healing up in the way that the doctors would prefer it go.
Okay.
So that is a praise to us to know that Linda's arm is healing up and doing much better.
Amen, man. All right. Very good. What else? Any other prayer needs?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I have a coworker that worked together for over 40 years, close to 44 years, and I was counting. And we got to be very close friends with her and her husband. And when you did my job, you know everybody very, very well, kids and everything, other problems. Anyway, she passed away last night, and we kept in touch after she retired constantly. And it was just cancer in her stomach she was fighting, and just a long 5-year battle.
And what was her name?
Frida Robinson. So my prayers for the Robinson family.
Rita Robinson. Okay. Got it. What else? What else? Anybody else? Yeah, Gene?
Okay. The pastor at Magnolia's First Baptist, senior pastor.
Yeah.
He's retiring due to health issues. And they'll be looking for a new pastor, senior pastor, pretty soon. So we want to pray for that church. Also, we want to pray for my sister-in-law, Michelle. She's out in California. She's having a rough time right now out there. So we just need to keep her in prayer, all the state of California, basically.
You say sister-in-law?
Yeah, Michelle.
Okay.
So Sharon's sister.
All right.
So
California, and she's being affected by the weather out there?
Well, she's just being affected, period. She's having major issues out there. So
okay.
The weather's not helping, that's for sure.
Right.
All right.
All right. Any other prayer needs? Yeah, what you got, brother?
Tomorrow, me and Terry's mother is meeting with hospice about her stepdad.
Okay.
So it's probably getting close to the end for him, and just be with Terry's mom as she goes through this.
Stepdad.
Billy Ray.
Billy Ray. Hospice. Okay. All right, all right.
All right, our unspokens, Brother Lee.
All right.
And, of course, our shut-ins. All those that are going through health issues in our church.
Yes. Right. Got it.
Pray
anything
for our
else?
Church and our school and continue to pray for our governments, local, state, and federal.
All right. Anybody else? Ronnie? All right. All right. Anything else? Is that it? All right. Here we go. We'll go ahead and begin our prayer time, and we'll get her on down the road here. My phone's on silent. Yeah, it looks like it. All right. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, Lord, we praise you for this day. We thank you for the beauty of it. Thank you for the rain today. And Lord, as an answer to prayer, we just keep praying for that rain. And thank you for sending little bit by little bit. So we praise you for the rain this afternoon. Thank you for the cooler temperatures, the crispness in the air, the freshness. It's just a beautiful, beautiful evening out there, Lord. And it looks like it's going to be a gorgeous day perhaps tomorrow. So we thank you for this day. Looking forward for tomorrow. Lord, as we praise you for our salvation. We thank you for loving us and for forgiving us, saving us, and for keeping us for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, that we have a place to come tonight and worship you and sing praises to your name and be in your word. And so, Lord, we're just blessed beyond measure, privileged, and we thank you and praise you for it. Lord, we lift up this praise that Chad has landed a job. And, Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor that you've given this gentleman the opportunity to provide for his family. Lord, we pray that this be a good fit, and that, Lord, he just be able to do great things and have great success there as he gets ready to go to work there at the jail. Lord, we praise you that Gene's back over his sickness, and, Lord, we just pray you keep him healthy, and, Lord, don't let him have any setbacks, and just, Lord, we just praise you that he's doing better. Lord, we praise you that Jennifer's daughter, Jessica, is doing better. And, Lord, we're thankful for all the prayers that have gone up for her healing and her health. And so, Lord, we just continue to pray for her. But we're thankful that we get a praise report tonight that she's doing some better. As we think about our prayer requests, we lift up Arnaldo to you tonight and pray for his healing as he's in the hospital. Father God, we pray you touch his body, bring healing to him. And then Linda, this neighbor of Frank's, we praise you that her shoulder's doing better from this fall she's had, and she's doing the physical therapy, and the doctors are encouraged, and it doesn't look like she's going to have surgery. So we just give you praise and glory for that, Lord. Thank you for that. We lift up Ronnie's co-workers' family, the Robinson family, and the passing of Rita. Pray you comfort them, Lord, and help them during this time of loss, in time of need, in time of pain and hurt. And we just pray you help them, give them what they need, Lord, to go through what they're having to go through right now. We lift up Magnolia's First Baptist Church, Lord, and as they transition and begin to think about calling another pastor, we pray that you just help them through that process, lead, guide, and direct them. And we pray now in advance, Lord, you probably already have the man already picked out. We just pray you help church and man get together and get that thing going down the road. So we lift up Magnolia's First Baptist. We lift up Sharon's sister there in California and the struggles that she's having. Lord, we pray you give her help, you give her wisdom, give her discernment, and Lord, just help her navigate what she's having to deal with right now. We lift up Terry's stepdad to you, Billy Ray. Pray for this meeting with hospice, and Lord, we pray that you just be with Billy Ray, and Lord, allow hospice to minister to him, keep him comfortable, and just help him as he goes through the valley of the shadow. So, Lord, we lift him up to you. Pray for Terry's mom and Terry as they meet with hospice, and Lord, we just pray you be in the midst of that meeting. As we think about all the unspokens represented here tonight, Lord, we're thankful that we can say those to you silently, things that we just would rather not share publicly, but Lord, we can certainly pray on privately. We're thankful that you hear us. And Lord, we know that you're sovereign and in control. We know that you are the great reconciler. And Lord, your timetable is not our timetable. So we just rest in the fact that you're for us and not against us. And Lord, you know exactly what's going on with these unspoken requests. So we just lift them up to you one more time. We're thankful that we can do that. And Lord, we just thank you that you hear us this evening. We pray for our shut-ins tonight, Lord. We pray you keep them encouraged and help them, Lord. And Father God, they would, those that are watching online, that they would get a blessing from the service. And Father God, we love them. We need them. We pray for them. And so, Lord, we're thankful for our shut-ins. We lift up our school next door. And Lord, we continue to pray for safety over there. We continue to pray that your word go forth as kids are educated in all the different subjects. Thank you for the seeds of salvation that are sown in Christian education. And Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor for our school next door. We pray for our government, Lord. We pray for our president, his cabinet. We pray for the House and the Senate, Supreme Court. Pray for the state houses and, Lord, all the local governments around here, all the challenges, all the crime, everything going on, Lord. We just pray for them. Pray for those police officers, first responders. Be with them as they do their job and minister to the community with their gifts and skills. Watch over them. And, Lord, we just thank you for them. And, Lord, as we think about Ronnie tonight, we lift him up with his issues, with his pancreas, Lord, his issues with his feet, his shoulders, his ears, yeah, all the different health issues he's got. Lord, we pray you give him peace and rest tonight. Give him a good rest of this week. We continue to pray for Ronnie Holman and his cancer and healing. And, Lord, we pray you help him as well. And, Lord, as we think about the world events and everything going on, we continue to pray for the country of Ukraine as they continue to drive out or try to drive out the aggressor. Pray that you undergird those people, help them defend their freedom, their democracy, and help them win in the end, Lord, we pray. So, Father God, we thank you for your word tonight as we get into it. And, Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts to receive it. And, Lord, we would be more like Christ when we leave here than when we came in. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right. If you'll take a copy of God's Word, we are in Leviticus chapter 5, and we're beginning the guilt offering. And so we're going through Leviticus, kind of paragraph by paragraph, and we've talked about the sin offering, and now we're talking about the guilt offering. So I invite you to stand as you turn to Leviticus chapter 5. We'll pick it up here in verse 1, and we'll take it through verse 13. These first 13 verses are kind of a bridge between the sin offering that we've already covered and the guilt offering that we're going to be diving into here for the next several weeks. So we've not read this passage yet. We certainly looked at 5:1. But we'll look at 5:1 through 13, read that, and then we'll get you seated back down here. If you found that this evening, say amen. Amen. All right, the Word of God says, now if a person sins after he hears a public adjuration to testify when he is a witness, whether he has seen or otherwise known, if he does not tell it, then he will bear his guilt. Or if a person touches any unclean thing, whether a carcass of an unclean beast or the carcass of unclean cattle, or a carcass of unclean swarming things, though it is hidden from him, and he is from him, and he is unclean, then he will be guilty. Or if he touches human uncleanliness of whatever sort, his uncleanness may be with which he becomes unclean, and it is hidden from him, and then he comes to know it, he'll be guilty. Or if a person swears thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or to do good in whatever matter, a man may speak thoughtlessly with an oath, and it is hidden from him, and then he comes to know it, he'll be guilty in one of these. So it shall be when he becomes guilty in one of these that he shall confess that in which he has sinned. He shall also bring his guilt offering to the Lord for his sin, which he has committed, a female from the flock, a lamb, or a goat as a sin offering, so the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin. But if he cannot afford a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord his guilt offering for that in which he has sinned, two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. He shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer first that which is for the sin offering, and shall nip its head at the front of its neck, but he shall not sever it. He shall also sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, while the rest of the blood shall be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. The second he shall then prepare as a burnt offering according to the ordinance, So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin which he has committed, and it will be forgiven him. But if his means are insufficient for two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then for his offering, for that which he has sinned, he shall bring the tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall not put oil on it or place incense on it, for it is a sin offering. He shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it as its memorial portion and offer it up in smoke on the altar with the offerings of the Lord by fire. It is a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin, which he has committed from one of these, and it will be forgiven him. Then the rest shall become the priests like the grain offering. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. May he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, I continue on here in verse 14, but I wanted to let you sit down, right? The word of God reads in verse 14, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person acts unfaithfully and sins unintentionally against the Lord's holy things, then he shall bring his guilt offering to the Lord, a ram without defect from the flock, according to your valuation in silver by shekels, in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary for a guilt offering. He shall make restitution for that which he has sinned against the holy things, and shall add to it a fifth part of it, and give it to the priest. The priest shall then make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering, and it will be forgiven him. Now, if a person sins and does any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, though he was unaware, still he is guilty and shall bear his punishment. He is then to bring to the priest a ram without defect from the flock according to your valuation for a guilt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his error in which he sinned unintentionally and did not know it, and it will be forgiven him. It is a guilt offering. He was certainly guilty before the Lord. So you getting it tonight? We're talking about guilt, yeah? Oh boy, here we go. Let's jump in with both feet, amen? This is our first installment on the guilt offering. Guilt offering number one. We approach the guilt offering. What are we going to do with it, preacher? We're going to deal with the term guilt, right? We're going to go down that road. Guilt has two distinct aspects of it, if you did not know. It has a legal aspect, yes. And it also has an emotional aspect. Yeah, it's got an emotional aspect to it. Now, legal guilt is the outcome of a legal or moral violation. If I break the law or you break the law or a moral code, then I or you, we are guilty of breaking it. Put another way, the breaking of law or code imparts guilt to the law breaker. You may have seen on the news this family. Oh, golly, I cannot remember their names, but the father and the two boys were leaving an Astros game, and they got in some kind of altercation leaving the stadium, and this car did the drive-by shooting thing, shot through the back, hit one of the boys and killed him, right? And they looked and looked and looked, and they finally got that guy, right? Yeah. And they finally entered a plea deal, and the alleged or the guy who said he did it didn't say sorry about doing it, but he's going to get 30 years for that boy's life. It don't hardly seem fair, but that's what the parties have agreed to. And that's the amount of restitution he's going to get to pay. Unbelievable. Now, that's legal guilt. On the other hand, there's emotional guilt. Emotional guilt is the outcome of the conscience that God has given us. Amen? It's a good thing. Now, when you've done something wrong and you come to the conclusion or the realization or the discovery that you have broke Almighty God's heart by doing whatever, it doesn't feel good, right? It doesn't feel like it's a gift, But it's a conscience that God has given us. It is the innate emotional, spiritual organ, if you will, that causes us to feel pain when we do wrong. And what I want to tell you is that if we can rightly tune that thing up, like a fine piano, we can rightly tune it up. It is a good thing to have in your back pocket. It's a good thing to have. Write this verse down. As Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Now, we usually experience legal and emotional guilt in any one of four ways. And I'll take you through them just real quick as we introduce this guilt offering tonight. Number one, we can have no legal guilt with no guilt feelings. That's the good spot to be. This is, of course, is where we would all like to be all of the time. No legal guilt with no guilt feelings. I've neither broken a law nor do I have any sense of conviction because I've not done nothing wrong. Now, unfortunately, we're living in a fallen world. Unfortunately, we're still struggling with our dying flesh. And we don't get to stay in that position for too long very often. So that brings me to the second one. And that's no legal guilt with guilt feelings. No legal guilt with guilt feelings. This can come about by misunderstanding of the intent of law, or it can be a sign of an overly sensitive conscience. That's why we want this thing finely tuned. A girl, for example, raised with the teaching that makeup is of the devil, who tries a little blush on her cheeks, may feel guilty about it. Then there's legal guilt with no guilt feelings. Kind of like the smug look of the person of the man who shot the teenage boy through the back of that F-150. Legal guilt with no guilt feelings. This comes from convicting an innocent person sometimes, or this can come from the reprobate who feels bad for being caught in his or her law-breaking but has no sense of wrongdoing. As Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20 says, "This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, 'I've done no wrong.'" You get it? Legal guilt with no guilt feelings? Yes? Amen? Legal guilt with guilt feelings, legal guilt with no guilt feelings, and then legal guilt with guilt feelings. Not the best place to be, but it certainly presents cause for hope, for this is the place that which can produce repentance for us. Now, in talking about these four different positions and how we can deal with the guilt, let me give you an outlier here. Think about the story of Stephen. In the book of Acts, last part of chapter 6, balance of chapter 7, it gives us an example of wrong legal guilt for which the legally guilty person has no guilt feelings. What do you mean by that? Well, Stephen was brought before the Sanhedrin for being one of Jesus' followers. They found him guilty of blasphemy, and what did they do? They stoned him to death. Stephen was legally guilty as far as the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Jewish criminal justice system was concerned. He had incurred a legal debt that demanded his death. But from the standpoint of a higher truth, however, Stephen did not feel guilty and was, in fact, his conscience was not inflamed at all. Now, the men who stoned Stephen took Stephen's clothes, placed them at the feet of a man named Saul, who later became Paul. Saul did not feel guilty either. In fact, Scripture says he approved of the stoning of Stephen. Saul was quite innocent before the Sanhedrin, yet he was morally guilty before a higher truth. Now, I give you that outlier because Guilt is a complex subject. Are you feeling that? It is a complex subject that affects all of us. Now, we are, of course, in the best situations when code and conscience are at the level of highest truth and are in agreement. Note again Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. A proper functioning conscience is a mark of maturity. Now, guilt, complex subject, affects all of us. Guilt is universal. We have all felt guilty, and we've all been guilty. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Now, if we examine the philosophies of the world, then we find that whereas many of these philosophies, they do not recognize the biblical concept of sin. Everybody say sin. Aren't we all sinners saved, right, by grace? These philosophies will invariably recognize the concept of guilt, and they'll try to deal with it. This includes not only many religions, but also the fields of psychology and psychiatry. And this demonstrates the degree to which guilt and guilt feelings trouble the human race. It's universal. Some religious groups stir up guilt as a means of control. You ever been in a church like that? They stir it up as a means of control. They seek to expand the scope of guilt. Whereas on the other extreme, humanistic philosophies try to narrow the scope of guilt. They do not affirm valid guilt except in regard to violating the space, the privacy, or short-term welfare of another person. Now, psychiatry often takes the blame-shifting approach to guilt feelings. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? The blame-shifting approach. The comedian Ann Russell wrote a poem that pokes fun at this very thing I'm talking about. She wrote, "I went to my psychiatrist to be psychoanalyzed, to find out why I killed the cat and blacked my husband's eyes." Amen? "He laid me on a downy couch to see what he could find, and here's what he dredged up from my subconscious mind. When I was one, my mommy hid my dolly in a trunk, and so it follows naturally that I'm always drunk. And when I was two, I saw my father kiss the maid one day, and that is why I suffer now from kleptomania. At three, I had the feeling of ambivalence toward my brothers, and so it follows naturally I poison all my lovers. But I'm happy now. I've learned a lesson this has taught, that everything I do that's wrong is someone else's fault." Right? I mean, that really is what the world is selling. Now, although true Christianity offers a solution to guilt, there is a caricature of Christianity that portrays it as a producer of guilt feelings instead. Now, this is not a fundamental church. This is a Bible preaching church. All the Word of God, we preach it, right? But we're not seeking to pile on and pile on and pile on. We want people to figure it out, right? And you can figure it out with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the power of prayer. You can figure out the life of discipleship And you and the good Lord can walk and have a wonderful relationship until you meet him face to face. It's a fact. It can be done. The motivation does not have to be guilt and trying to poke holes in your life to make you feel guilty about everything, right? And fundamentalism kind of has a way of doing that. Now, because of this producer of guilt feelings, and some of those churches out there, we'll not mention any of their names, this has led some to attack Christianity as being harmful to good mental health. Honestly, I wouldn't be a part of something that just pounded me all the time, 24/7, right? Now, when the Word of God gets on our toes, we need to let the Word of God get on our toes, right? But the beauty of preaching through the Bible, preaching through Leviticus, preaching through Matthew, Brother Lee ain't got a dog in the hunt. I don't care. I'm preaching the next chapter and preaching the next chapter and preaching the next chapter. There's no motivation to hurt your toes from me. The Holy Spirit hurts your toes. Let your toes be hurt, right? Find yourself down here in the altar and get whatever's on your toes off your toes. Amen? Right? But I don't have a dog in the hunt. Some churches, the whole modus operandi is how can we manipulate this group of people to do this or do that or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? You say people really think like that? Yeah. I mean, the liberals do it, so everybody else does it, right? So, this has led some to attack Christianity as being harmful to good mental health. As the following quote from the Humanist magazine demonstrates, now this article is quite old. The article it comes from is called the Fundamentalist Anonymous Movement. You heard of Alcoholics Anonymous? Yes? Well, there is a Fundamentalist Anonymous Movement. Now, this Fundamentalist Anonymous Movement, it kind of came into its own around 2008. So, it's a few years down the road old. When it first came out, it was pushed heavily by people like Oprah Winfrey. Remember her? Oprah Winfrey? Yeah, okay. You remember her? Okay. Barely, huh? Is she famous? Okay, Oprah Winfrey. Anyway, she pushed it. And other people she's pushed. But anyway, she really pushed this Fundamentalist Anonymous Movement. Now, this is an excerpt from the Fundamentalist Anonymous Movement this article comes from. It says, at long last, the best-kept secret in America is being revealed to the public. The fundamentalist experience can be a serious mental health hazard to perhaps millions of people. If you want to know about this firsthand, you talk to Vince's wife, Terry. She'll let you know about fundamentalism. She'd be glad to talk to you about it at length. At this time, more than 10,000 people, hardly a significant number compared to the population from which it claims to come, have called or written us. Even though they come from all 50 states and constitute a cross-section of American society, there is a common list of complaints that we hear again and again. Years of overwhelming guilt, fear, and anxiety after leaving the fundamentalist fold. Loneliness, chronic depression, low self-esteem, years in therapy, and sometimes even attempts at suicide. Now, what are they saying? They're saying that fundamentalists, meaning legalism, amen? Everybody, legalism, you got that? Buzzword, legalism? Are really pouring on the guilt. Really pouring on the guilt. Now, although there are some religious groups, Christians and otherwise, that use guilt to manipulate their members, you still have to realize, friend, you cannot throw out guilt altogether. You got to realize that guilt feelings are God-given. They're God-given, just like our emotions of fear, just like our emotions of anger. All emotions have been warped by sin. You know, you can have holy, righteous anger, and then you can be angry and sin. You can have healthy fear, and then you can sinfully live in fear. You make sense? Amen? Just as there are those who develop sinful anger patterns or are too fearful, there are those who have destructive guilt. Then again, there are others who do not feel guilty enough. Make sense? So, as Pastor Lee lines up, where do they kick the ball off at? Is it on the 35-yard line, Ronnie? Do they kick off from the 35-yard line? Is that where they kick the football? All right. As Pastor Lee lines up on the 35-yard line to kick the ball off, to talk about this guilt offering series as we go through this part of Leviticus, what seems to be clear is that we've got to have a proper balance. A proper balance. That's got to be the goal to which we strive for in our mental and emotional and spiritual health when it comes to this thing called guilt. And you say, preacher, I didn't think we were going to get anything out of that big old long passage that you made us read. There you go, friend. Guilt, it's what? It's universal. Guilt, it's what? Some take it way too far, but some don't take it way far enough. What the Bible wants us to see is that there's a balance, right? We don't completely neglect it. We don't let it destroy us. When it comes, it comes. When it squeezes us, it squeezes us. And we make the changes. We make the changes. We get with the Lord and we make the changes. And then we allow that guilt to go. Get on down the road. I've confessed and repented of that. I'm moving onward and upward with my Heavenly Father. Amen? All right. Let's have a closing word of prayer, and that's your introduction to the guilt offering. We'll pick it back up on Sunday night. Amen? Let's pray. Online folks, I haven't welcomed you. I'm so sorry. I normally do that. Good to have you with us, online folks, and hopefully you'll join us back next service. Amen? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that we can be in it. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for this wonderful study we've got going on here in Leviticus. And we pray, Lord, as we get into it deeper, you'll just help us glean some truth that'll help us in our lives here in 2023. Help us better serve you. Help us bring glory and honor to your name. Help us be more like Christ. Thank you, Lord, how you wash us with your word, make us white, Lord, so we can be presentable to you one day. Father God, we praise you and thank you for that. Give us safety as we depart here, Lord. Pray for the kids next door. Keep them safe as they go through their Awana program. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Thank you.